This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning, everyone. I'm State Senator Chris Langer. I'm the majority leader in the Senate, and I'm from District 25, which is northern Minnehaha County, and live in Del Rapids.
State Senator Jim Bolin, Assistant Majority Leader for the Senate. I represent District 16, which includes all of Union County and the southern rural portion of Lincoln County, south of Harrisburg. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is John Hansen. I'm also from District 25 in Del Rapids. I represent, District 25, northern and eastern Minnehaha County. And I'm a majority whip in the House and chairman of the Judiciary Committee.
Good morning. Spencer Gosch, District 23, Speaker Pro Tem of the House. I represent all of north central South Dakota, about eight counties encompassing, just east of the river.
Does the do either Senate Republicans and House Republicans kind of have a position on the municipal electric versus rural co-op bill?
I would say at this time no. I know there's I've been involved in some negotiations. They're really trying to work some things out and made a lot of progress. So I'm hoping that eventually that the two sides will reach an agreement and we won't see it legislatively at all.
That's the same with the House side, too. There's been a lot of conversation on this issue, but we haven't come to any conclusions, you know, as a group. Some individual legislators have, but as a group, you know, no. We're still working through the process, and like Senator Langer said, we hope that the parties can come to some sort of agreement and get this resolved outside of the need of any legislative change.
And I'll just throw in, you know, it's really not a party issue. There's people from both political parties are looking at this issue differently. It's has really almost it's a nonpartisan issue that is, but it is a very important potential issue for this session.
You know, I think Democrats alluded to the same thing. Do you know, like, I guess real quick, like, where those behind-the-scenes negotiations are taking place? Are they taking place here? And who those parties even might be?
I can answer that. Yes, they are taking place in the Capitol, but I can't tell you who's all involved.
And I don't think a lot of that has been behind the scenes. I think a lot of it has been in the hallways of the Capitol building. You know, people just talking, groups getting together, trying to work things out.
Have either of your caucuses discussed the sports wagering in Deadwood constitutional amendment, and where might things go with that?
The Senate caucus has not discussed that yet, has not come before any committee yet or that kind of thing, so we have not.
The House caucus hasn't either. We just had the majority of our bills dropped, and we're still trying to roll with those, so we haven't had an opportunity to get through everything and vet them, but I'm sure it'll be a discussion when it does actually come to come to committee.
Senator Nelson's bill to have legislators drug tested just passed out of committee. Do you envision that will move forward this year, or will it fizzle out on the floor again?
Well, that's a very good question. I myself do not support it. But we'll see what the caucus wants to do. We have not discussed it as a caucus. So I guess we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see if it makes it over to the House side. I won't support it either. I know that I personally would be clean, but I still think it's bad policy. Yeah.
And I would agree with Senator Langer. We'll just have to wait and see where it goes, and you know how it fares on the House, on the Senate floor. Comes there.
I think a bill addressing nursing home funding moved from Health and Human Services over to Appropriations. Does the House, do House Republicans, I guess, agree with that move? Was it the right thing to start in HHS and then move it to Appropriations? And kind of what do you see or envision kind of going forward?
That's a great question, and I really actually appreciate that question. The idea behind this sort of a concept is going to be all-encompassing. We all have nursing homes that have issues that we need addressed for our constituents. So the thought was to make sure it gets properly vetted, not only through an appropriation standpoint, but through a policy standpoint as well, to allow individual legislators to interject and properly vet. This is going to be one of those topics that everybody's going to want to have a hand in, and everybody's going to want to have a say to do what's best for their communities. So I think the more exposure we can get for this type of an idea, the better.
Just wondering, you guys have had a month now with a new governor. You know, are you seeing more bills in line with her policy than you have under Dugard or New Energy or anything like that in the session?
Well, thanks for that question. You know, I think there's obviously some bills that are very much in keeping in accord with her desires as her campaign went forward. But at the same time, we always have somewhere between 25 and 33% of the legislature is new each 2 years. So there always are significant number of new bills that come forward with different ideas that people bring forward. Some of them, after some reflection, are seen to be not so acceptable to the majority. And other times, ideas come forward that perhaps are very good. So I think it's actually a little bit of both. There are a number of bills that are reflective of the governor's priorities, but there also are a number of bills that just are the ideas of many of the new members that will seemingly under our system will always have that between one quarter and one third of new members in the legislature every 2 years.
And I think there's a lot of excitement with the new governor, and to her credit, she has shown a willingness to work together with the legislature to advance, you know, the policies that she sees fit and that we see fit. And that's no, you know, discredit to Governor Dugard. I was able to work great with him as well. But with the new governor comes new opportunity, and I think that has just sort of bred some excitement among the members to really be able to accomplish some new things that maybe they weren't or didn't feel like they could accomplish in the past.
I would just add, obviously, there's some great excitement today for the signing of Senate Bill 47. That's something that has the legislature has wanted to happen, and with this governor, it's going to happen today. So that does bring some definite excitement.
Speaking of Senate Bill 47, I think House Bill 1112 is still floating out there, which would the Sheriff's Association, police chiefs, and not necessarily police chiefs, but Sheriff's Association and possibly the State's Attorneys Association support. I guess what's the future of that bill?
There are a number of bills that are coming down to deal with the constitutional carry issue and what it needs to look like. The future of that bill is the future of any bill. It'll have its hearing. It'll have its day. It's a bill in which I don't support. I think it directly flies in the concept of what Senate Bill 47 did. So I don't know what the future is in terms of the political aspect of things. But as with every bill that any legislator brings, they'll have their due process.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I can only speak from my perspective on this, but as far as I'm concerned, I supported 47. I thought it was a great bill. I supported it unamended. And so I'm excited that the governor is going to sign 47 today. And beyond that, I hope that these other bills that try to tweak that just go to the 41st day.
On a different topic, can you all talk about your positions on allowing driver's license tests to be taken in Spanish?
I would say at this time on that bill, I'm undecided. I have some. I see the need of workforce in the Sioux Falls area in particular, and I know that their association, the Sioux Falls business community, is very much in favor of this. I'm going to be looking at that. If that bill comes to me, I'll be looking at it carefully, and I'll just remain undecided at this time.
Yeah, I would just add that our Senate caucus has not discussed this at all. So at this point, I don't have any news for you.
And I haven't looked at the bill either. But I am, you know, just when you ask the question, it seems like a decent concept to work with, generally speaking. I think that there are some citizens of our state who maybe are more fluent in Spanish than they are in English. I don't think it would be that difficult to translate the test from English to Spanish, and so I'm certainly open to the idea.
And again, it's another situation where a bill has to be vetted properly, and once we hear testimony on either side, so now would be quite premature to bring some sort of a conclusion. But I will say that a general concern of mine is, are we going to change our road signs to all also repeat in Spanish? I mean, an obvious understanding of the language in English is necessary to operate in our society today. So it's one of the questions that I'll be asking in committee, but again, an actual conclusion would be a little premature at this time.
Can you excuse me? Can you give us a look ahead to week five and what you specifically will see coming forward, what you'd like to work on, and what our readers, viewers, and listeners ought to be paying attention to?
Well, I know in Senate State Affairs this next week we're going to be taking up a proposed constitutional amendment to require that have judges be elected in a partisan fashion. There are some other issues that will be coming up in state affairs as well. One of them, I think the Deadwood gaming bill is on the calendar for Wednesday as well. So those are a couple that we'll be dealing with. And depending on how far we get on our calendar today, another key bill that has a lot of support is 1040, the homeschool bill in regards to the ACT test, 24 versus 28. And I believe that bill has a good chance of passing on the floor. And so that's another, either today in the afternoon session today or as we look to next week coming back on Tuesday. So those are two or three, I would say, important issues that will be out there receiving due consideration.
Big picture, just on both sides, I guess, I would anticipate that the committee process really picks up. Our unlimited bill filing deadline, both our bill filing deadlines have passed now. So we have an idea of what the bill load looks like, and so you're just going to see a lot of action taking place in the committees to get bills through and either onto the floor or killed.
I guess one of the bills that dropped last night, it finally got a number, is 1269, and I know a lot of bills have been filed, but it deals with an issue that's come up here and there ever since 2010, and this is a bill that would revise the statute of limitations for bringing a civil action for certain cases of child sexual abuse. I think it temporarily revises the statute, but I guess I was wondering if leadership could kind of speak to that issue in general as it's come up in the past, and sort of the take on whether it's favorable this time around.
I think a subject like that is a very delicate subject. Obviously, when you're dealing with statute of limitations laws and so on and so forth, you need to look at the specific entities of the situation. I know it's failed in the past, so I look forward to doing the research required to make an educated decision as to why it did or did not do what they intended it to do before, and to see if they accomplished that this time. So right now, I think it would be, again, premature to try to judge on the notion. I have heard of it. We have started looking into it. But that will be up to the individuals as legislators to decide what they feel is right.
And as you indicated, the bill was recently filed, so I haven't had the opportunity to read the bill yet. But I can say, in a general sense, that statutes of limitations are prudent in that over time, the body of evidence starts to go away. And so if you don't start that action soon enough, then there's just going to be nothing left to prove the case. And so it turns into more of verbal accusations and verbal responses. So we like actions to be brought as soon as possible, so that as much of the evidence is there as much of the evidence that is out there would be still preserved, still available to be investigated and to be properly adjudicated.
Yeah, I would just add, I agree with that. I sat on judiciary when this issue's been talked about before. So I've heard the testimony, and it's very compelling. But one of the problems was most of the people that were accused of various crimes are no longer living. So it's really hard to get testimony, figure out what actually happened when those people aren't alive. So it is that is a big concern.
And I just agree with the two previous speakers on that issue. We'll just have to wait and see, and especially look. I haven't had a chance to look at the text of that bill either, so we'll just have to evaluate that when it comes forward. Thank you.
Anyone want to jump in on who their Super Bowl pick is this Sunday?
Yes, Tom Brady. The Patriots are going to win.
Yes, anybody but the Patriots.
Oh, come on. He's not coming to my party.
And I would agree strongly with the good representative from District 25. I was really pulling for the Chiefs. I was hoping for Mr. Mahomes to be in the Super Bowl. He didn't quite make it. So I'm definitely pulling for the Rams. I'm all for the Rams because I don't want to see the Patriots win again. Thank you.
You know, the way I see it, the Vikings have just as much of a chance to win the Super Bowl now as they did at the beginning of the season, so I'm still going to cheer for the Vikings.
On the House side, there's a bill to prohibit teaching about gender identity in middle and elementary schools. That was a topic that came up last year and I think was amended in committee. Can you talk about where you would fall on that?
I have not seen the amendment, so I can't talk about where I specifically would fall on that, but it's an interesting concept. There's going to be a few questions that are going to need to be asked. What's not happening at the local level already, and what problem does this address? It is a particular bill that I did support in its original form. We've got enough things that teachers want to teach. They've got the only limited amount of time in the day, and I think it's a great idea for them to focus on the specifics and the basics in which they already have.
I haven't looked at the bill, and I wasn't here last year when we considered it then. So I can't really provide you with an informed opinion at this point. I tend to agree with what Speaker Pro Tem Gosch had to say. The issue's out there. I think the kids know about it, whether or not teachers are teaching it or not. But then again, the issue is out there, and so maybe it is a situation where teachers should discuss it with their students. So, you know, that's something that I'll have to consider when the bill comes before me.
The only thing I'd say on this is, you know, teaching about something is different than... I would say use the word promoting it. I used to teach about communism when I was teaching in school. I used to teach this is what communists believe. I certainly wasn't a communist. So you have to be there's a fine line. There's a fine line, and we'll just leave it at that.